And right now it's time to say very good morning to Peter Allam. Today, our legal eagle. Peter, very good morning.
Hey. Morning, Wayne. A nice overcast day again down the coast.
Indeed.
Making the garden look good, but not making the people wanting to go to the beach look good.
Well, it's a Monday morning. We should go to work instead of the beach.
Yeah, you should be at work, not at the beach. Yeah. You're right.
But anyway, Peter, today insurance.
Not insurance.
Right.
Insurance. There are two types of insurance we'll talk about. There's life insurance, and then, of course, there's your personal short-term insurance. So we'll deal first with short-term insurance, which is what normally covers your household, public liability, motor vehicles, and that type of stuff. Very important to have. You know, a lot of people cut it out. Don't get caught without insurance because it's going to cost you a fortune. I mean, just as an example, I had a garage that burnt down the other day with one of my homes. Uh-huh. And thank goodness I was properly insured because the cost is unbelievable. I mean, you know, when we built the home years ago, it only cost us about $500,000-$600,000. And just to redo the garage now, it's $400,000.
Wow.
So, you know, don't think, it won't cost me much to do. It's there. It's dangerous. Make sure that you've got insurance. Very important. So that insurance, your short-term insurance covers your motor vehicles. Make sure that, you know, you're properly covered there. A lot of people only take balance of third party. Then they're involved in a collision. And if there's big damages to your own motor vehicle, you're in trouble. A lot of people can't afford it, and that's why they do that. You really do need to try and make sure that you take out full insurance to cover yourself as well. I mean, at the present moment, I have three or four people who only have balance of insurance. The damage to the other vehicle is minimal, $10,000-$20,000. The damage to their vehicle is a write-off, which is like $120,000-$150,000. So be careful. Think about insurance. There are some great deals around at the moment. So just check on that. Your short-term is very important. A lot of people as well must check on their public liability with the short-term. Mm-hmm. You know, don't say it will never happen to me because, you know, it can happen so easily. Unfortunately, you get a situation where somebody falls on your property because you left a drain cover open or something like that. So you've got to be very, very careful. Make sure that you properly covered in that regard as well as something that you need to check, unfortunately. So that basically does the short-term insurance. And then obviously we now move on to the different types of life insurance. And if we can just name them, you know, you get term life insurance, you get whole life insurance, universal life insurance, critical illness insurance, disability insurance, key person insurance for a business. And, of course, funeral insurance, which is to cover a funeral. Mm-hmm. You know, in the old days, you buried people for nothing. But these days, it's not a cheap thing at all to bury someone. It costs a fortune. And if you're not covered, you could be in trouble. You know, there are a lot of policies that are very cheap for funeral policies that will give you money to make sure that, you know, you covered sufficiently enough to sort that out. So if we go through those different policies. Let's start with the funeral insurance. You know, that covers, it's a policy that you take out. Some of the policies only cover the actual funeral at the funeral parlor. Mm. Others give you a fixed amount that they pay out for it, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, depending on what you've got. So, you know, they typically have a lower death benefit than other types of insurance policies. So they're not expensive one, and the amount that they pay out is a lot less. So you're not going to make money out of a funeral insurance policy, you know, that's going to be able to let a wife survive or something like that.
Yeah.
It's only going to be a policy that covers the funeral and, you know, gives you a fixed amount depending on the premium that you're paying. So you need to make sure that is what we will do. So if we go to the next one, which is a term life insurance, what is that, people ask? Oh. This policy is normally cheaper than most policies and pretty much does what the name implies. It covers you for a specific term. So So you take out this policy for a set period of 10, 20, or 30 years called term life. And during that term, then your beneficiaries receive a death benefit only. Uh-huh. That's it. The main drawback is that you might outlive the term that you've selected. And, you know, these are considerations to take into account because people don't realize that when the term comes to an end and the insurance hasn't been done or taken or you haven't died, that's the end of it. There's no surrender amount or anything
You
know, that a lot of people don't realize that the policy expires. They say, oh, well, okay, my policy's now come to an end. I don't have to pay anymore. But they don't realize that when they say come to an end, it's come to an end properly.
Yeah.
That there's no benefit for anybody. So if you're dying 10 years off, going to die 10 years after that, there's no lump sum, there's no surrender value or anything like that. So it's best that you check with your broker or with whoever does your insurance. It doesn't have to be a broker. What your term life insurance policies are. I'll be honest with you, I was taken by surprise when I discovered I had one or two of them.
Uh-huh.
And you know that they would expire at age 60, age 65, things like that. So be very careful with that. Then the next one that you get is a whole life insurance. So that covers you for your entire life. That's different than your term life. So your term life is a fixed period, like we said, 10, 20, or 30 years. Your whole life is for the whole of your life. But your premiums, you can make them paid up with a policy like that, or you pay a premium until the day you die. And basically, it's a life insurance policy that comes with a cash value that grows over time, and you can borrow against it. You can use it to pay premiums and fix it and that type of thing. So it's a popular option because it's got a cash value. It's got permanent cover for your whole life. It doesn't expire, and it can build up your family wealth for one day when you're gone, so that the people you leave behind can benefit from that. So that is basically the whole life policy. Then you get what you call a universal life insurance. So similar to whole life, universal life insurance is more or less the same. It gives you more flexibility in terms of your premiums and your death benefits and pays out once again when you pass away. The difference with this one is that you gain interest on the money that is placed in the investment.
Okay.
The money in the investment can't even grow to match the amount you're insured for. So it builds up. So you'll see, you know, if you've got that type of policy, a universal life insurance, it means that one has got a savings and one has got a value and the other one is a death value. And at the end of the day, you can be, for example, covered for 2 million rand death value and you could have as much as 2 million in the universal life insurance. So, you know, the three of them there, basically term life, whole life, universal life. So, you know, those are the three types of policies. You need to check with your broker or whoever sells you insurance and helps you or wherever you're purchasing insurance from. Make sure that you are fair and happy with what you have in policies. You know, a lot of people think that it just comes to an end and then you get paid out a sum. Not necessary. You need to make sure that that is the policy that you want and that you know what it is. The other insurance policies on life are basically ones where you take a gamble on those because if you don't get ill, you'll never benefit.
Yeah.
But they're important, especially in this day and age, to have. If you're involved in a motor vehicle accident, disability comes in. If you pick up a dreaded disease, cancer or heart attack or stroke, there's amounts that are paid out. And then, you know, so the two of them are basically sickness involved. That's critical illness insurance.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is disability insurance. If we deal first with disability insurance, that's one is that if you get an unexpected illness or injury prevents you from working, the policy pays out a portion of your income. It can be used for whatever you want, to your monthly expenses, recovery treatments, renovations, to make life easier, to manage the home and things like that. So it's got to specifically be a disability insurance. It must stipulate what it is and when it kicks in. Be careful with that because, once again, disability is not just automatic and it doesn't kick in for critical illness, which is the opposite. Critical illness, if we go on to that now, that's a selective type of insurance where you insure against some specific illnesses. And, you know, there you've got cancer, you've got a stroke, you've got a heart attack, you've got a loss of a limb or something like that, being involved in a motor vehicle accident, which sounds like disability, but may not be. You know, you might just have an arm that doesn't work properly anymore, rule-fitting disability, but, you know, you could have a critical illness with it in that it doesn't heal properly and that type of thing. So that one pays out a lump sum, and it's basically there for you to pay for medical expenses and other costs that you have. Completely different to disability. Disability is ongoing. Critical illness is the medical expenses that you have. And it's normally included in your life insurance policy, but it's additional cover and you need to make sure that it's there. So those two are very important for illness and sickness and disabilities, critical illness insurance and disability insurance. The next one that we have is a key person insurance, which is where you own a business, okay, and then you've got a situation that you've got key personnel there. So let's just say that on the radio there, you're the most important person there. If there's another person as well and something happens to you, they need insurance to keep you covered. So it's business life insurance policy taken out by a company or business to protect against financial loss of the owner or the partner or top executive or an employee that, you know, works your machines and is irreplaceable, you know, by an ordinary person in the business and that type of thing. So if the key person dies, that policy will come into gear and pay out, which is very, very nice. Those are all the policies. And the tips that you get from the chat this morning are make sure you choose the right life insurance.
Yeah.
That is so important. You know, people just take out policies. They come along and they say, okay, I need a policy. Or an insurance salesman arrives and says, I want to sell you a policy, and people do it. But you need to find somebody that's open and honest with you and that assesses, you know, correctly what type of policy you should have. And to do that, what do you need? You need somebody that's going to assess your life insurance goals, calculate the amount that you're going to need for that, and then choose the right policy for you, you know, the policies that we've mentioned.
Yes, yes.
And then you also need to compare with other insurance companies. You know, don't just take the first policy that comes. Unfortunately, in this day of age, you get somebody that comes to you from a specific Joe Soap insurance and they want to sell you a Joe Soap policy. Make sure it's the best policy. Make sure it's at the best price for you. That's very, very important. So many people just say, Wayne is such a good friend of mine and he'll never do me and I'm going to take that policy.
Yeah.
Then a couple of years later, you realize, geez, I could have had a policy for half that amount from another company and things like that. So you need to assess and calculate the amount that you're going to pay correctly. You need to make sure that it's the right policy for the right person, basically. So be very careful there. Compare policies with other policies. If you've got a broker or somebody that you believe in, ask them to give you a quote from a couple of other places and then phone around. You must feel that you're satisfied with what you're told. You know, it's a lesson that you can, a hard lesson to be learned where you just say, oh, okay, I trust Wayne entirely.
Yeah.
You know, me, Peter, the person that he sold the policy to, I'm happy with Wayne, he's not going to do me. And then a couple of years later, you realize, you know, he's done the one that gives him the best commission and things like that. I'm not for 1 minute saying that that's what happens, but it is typical of the situation. So be careful there. The other thing that you always do as well is a lot of people come along and say, oh, that policy is useless. Stop that policy and let me replace it with a policy that's half the price. When you took out that policy 10, 20 years ago, you know, it had this high premium. I can now give you one for half the price. Don't be conned by that. You know, you can increase your policies. You can decrease your policies. You can review your policies. You know, you need to have a proper look at that. How to increase it is quite simple. You call a broker in. You ask them, what is what? What am I doing that's right? Or what am I but that's not quite correct and that type of thing. And there are many reasons that you're going to call your broker or your insurance company back in. You know, you might find a situation where the policy that you have isn't enough. When we're young, we take out policies. When we're 18 or 19, when we start working, we put a figure onto it. You know, 30, 40 years later, that figure might be completely insufficient for what we're looking for. So that's one reason to change it. Another one is that you're now making more money. You know, when you started off as an apprentice and you were getting your little miserable 200 rand a week or something, now you're an executive and that type of thing. When you get married, have a look at your policies as well. Make sure that they're sufficient enough, you know, for your... You need to reassess the policy then as well. You know, my mom and dad are the beneficiaries. I'm now getting married. Do I keep my mom and dad on and just add my wife, or do I take my mom and dad off and now devote it to my wife? And, you know, I'm going to maybe start a family and have kids. So, you know, I want to add it on to that. Those are all things to be considered. Right. To make sure your policy is correct for you. You also, you know, you might need to insure against bad debts, and you've invested in a home and you come back, you've got to now, you know, find insurance on the home. And normally when you find insurance on the home, you have the short-term part of it and you take a life policy on it because you've got a bond and, you know, you want to protect yourself there. These days when you take the bond, they invariably insist that you take a policy as well. So, you know, that there's all comes into the picture. Insurance is such a big thing, and you need to make sure that it's correct. I mean, you know, you've taken on additional financial responsibilities, and you need cover for that from a business point of view. Your long-term plans have changed, bought a few more businesses and things like that.
Right.
So make sure that you assess and see whether you need to increase, take out new policies, extend your policies, take out different policies. Those are all very important. And like I said, you know, it's always best to have a broker that's open and honest with you. Check on what he says. Don't, you know, I'm not saying don't not believe it, but make sure that the broker is giving you the right information. That is very, very important. So, yeah, that's basically right. Your insurance, short-term and long-term. Very, very important that you've got the right insurance in both instances, and something that needs to be reviewed continuously and sorted.
And the advice would be to get a broker, somebody that can sit down and chat as you've run through the points now. That's basically what your broker will do with you, to learn all about your financial needs and then suggest the best possible package.
Correct. That's exactly what you need. You need somebody that you can trust. You need somebody that's going to do it properly for you. Absolutely.
And Peter, obviously you as or Alam's attorneys don't give out financial advice as such, but you obviously can help people to go in the right direction. How are you contactable?
Absolutely. They can find us at 6 Sansom Road in Berea, little side street where Pep Stores is off Devere Avenue. Telephone 043-7211-018. Or easiest of all is either to look us up on Wild Coast FM, or they can get us on Alams, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar. Just add an S onto our surname and find all the chats on there and our contact details there.
Great. Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a good week, and we'll chat again next week, Monday morning.
Perfect. Fine. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. That's Peter Alam with today's chat.